We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. We are in a series with Pastor Todd McIntyre called Leaders Go First. Let's listen in as he talks about the role of a man as a leader of his family.
Men, it's an honor that you take time to listen to this podcast. You know, there's a lot of men that are listening to this podcast and sharing it with their other friends, and it is an honor to us that you would find these messages as something that's helping you become more Christ-like, because we know when men become more Christ-like and they display Jesus in their home, the whole family gets closer to Christ. Guys, every choice we make matters. What you do and say today will impact tomorrow. By you listening to this podcast, you're setting yourself up to learn and to process how you can grow as a man of God. You know, Galatians 5:16 through 17 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." Because we know that we are in a fight every day with our flesh, we know that when we listen to podcasts like these, when we really push ourselves to get closer to Christ, it helps us in every area of our lives. And right now, we are in a series talking about marriage. In the last few weeks, we've actually talked about the purpose of marriage and how God designed your marriages to help you become more Christ-like. It's in our marriages that we learn a ton about who we are as men. Now, you have to realize that in my job, I deal with a lot of men that are struggling in their marriages. I do a lot of talks to guys that are having a hard time with their wives, and they're having a hard time knowing whether they should stay being married. And many of these guys are frustrated because their wives' problems seem to be holding them back from doing what they feel like they're called to do. I hear a lot of statements like, I would do that if my wife would do what she is supposed to do. Or, until I see her make some sort of effort, then I'm not going to make any effort myself. Guys, I get it. I get why we get frustrated. I get why we want our wives to change. I get that there's things that our wives do that just bug us, or things that she does that just feels maybe unchristlike, or maybe doesn't feel like it's healthy. And I totally understand why guys have this reality. But I want you to know this, that whoever goes first in the marriage is the leader. And let me just take it a step further. Because God's called you to lead your marriages, the only way your marriage is really going to change isn't waiting for your wife to change, but it's you going first and doing what God's called you to do, whether she changes or not. And this is probably one of the hardest discussions I have with guys, because they're so frustrated and they're so hurt and they're struggling so bad that they don't know how to get out of the situation. But I want you to know that if marriage is to make you like Christ, then we got to know how Christ led. We read in John 1 that Jesus uses two phrases to recruit his disciples. They're pretty cool phrases. These two phrases in John 1 are this: come and see and follow me. He uses them throughout the scriptures. You see it when every time he recruits his disciples, he uses two phrases: come and see and follow me. Why does he use these two phrases? Because he knows that he's the leader. And he knows as a leader, he has to have something to show them to get them to think differently about their lives and who they are. And number two, he has to be able to tell them to follow me, because he knows he's going to do what's right even when they all do what is wrong. And how many times did we see when Jesus led that his disciples wanted to go one way, but as the leader, he caused them to go a different way? How many times were they freaking out about a storm and he's sleeping on the boat and they're telling him, hey, Jesus, get up, we're about to die. And he tells them, I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to act like you guys are acting, because I have faith to know that we're going to get to the other side. In fact, I have faith to know that I can calm this storm in the middle of your anxiety, and we're still going to get to the other side. See, a leader never asks his followers to do what he's not willing to do. A leader always does what he's supposed to do, whether his followers do it or not. And in marriage, because we're called to lead, we have to understand that God has called us to tell our wives, come and see and follow me. What's also interesting is that in the Jewish army, the statement that a leader of the army would scream when they went out to war was, follow me. Now, I'm not saying Jesus was saying we're going to go to war, but in a sense, he is recruiting men to follow him to do something that many of these men have never thought about in their lives. Follow me. Think about war. In war, you are afraid. You don't know if you're going to die. You don't know if you're going to live. And it takes a leader to say, I will go first. Follow me. If you follow me, we can win this war. And I think Jesus, when he was recruiting his disciples, knew this phrase. And he knew this phrase was something that they were going to have to be willing to risk their whole lives for. But if they would do it, they would have the greatest life they've ever had or they ever thought they could have. So Jesus says to his disciples, come and follow me. He said it again when he was trying to explain what it means to be Christ-like when a lot of the people around him didn't want to follow him anymore. In fact, in Mark 8:34 through 35, we see Jesus saying this. He says, calling to the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And guys, I'm going to say this to you as a husband. God's called you to be first. He's called you to go first. And he's called you to be willing to tell your wife and to tell your kids, follow me. Paul, when talking to the Corinthians, used this same language. In 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 33, and then in the very first verse of 1 Corinthians 11, I'm going to read this to you. It says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews or Greeks or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Men, the one point I want to get across today is that leaders always go first. If you're going to truly lead your wife and your family as you're called to lead them, then you have to be willing to go first to set an example that your family can follow. I know marriage is hard. I know there are times that we don't want to go first, but if we're truly going to lead, if we're truly going to line up with the Word of God, we gotta be willing to go first. One of the coolest lessons Frank Seekins, my first marriage coach, ever taught me was the four levels of influence as a leader. And today I wanna end by explaining these four levels backwards. In other words, there's four levels that we can use to influence anyone to do what we want them to do. And as leaders, we're all about influence. In fact, leadership is influence. If you can't influence the people that are following you, you're never going to be able to lead them. And so I want to take you backwards through the four levels of influence. And I'll start with the lowest level of influence, which is force or control. The lowest level of influence that we can use is force and control. And I meet a lot of men who this is their only style of leadership. Force and control is when I get you to do something by making you do it or forcing you to do it. In other words, it's like holding a gun to someone's head and say, you will do what I want or I will kill you. Now, obviously, having that gun at my head is an influence. Of course, I don't want to die. So I'm willing to do what you tell me to do, but I'm not liking what you tell me to do. And I definitely don't like you for forcing and controlling me to do it. And there are times that force and control actually are needed in a family. For instance, when your child's really young, maybe 3, 4 years old, and they're about to cross a street, and you know you can't get over there fast enough to get them to stop from crossing the street. And you know there's cars coming both ways and they're not going to see it and it could kill them. At that point, you don't have time to explain to your son or daughter not to cross the street. You're going to have to use force and control to try to stop them from crossing the street. And that would mean running over and grabbing them or screaming out, telling them to stop. Now, they might even cry after you scream at them. They might look at you and cry and feel like they're in trouble. They might look at you and cry and feel like you force them to do something and they don't like it. But the reality is, you know you saved their life because what they were about to do was going to kill them. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that kind of force of control. But I'm talking about when your kids get older or with your wife. If you're having to use force and control with your older teenagers or with your wife, I'm telling you right now, you're going to struggle. And you're not going to get them on your side. They're not going to be happy to follow you. They'll follow you because they're afraid of you. They'll follow you because you're a bully. But they're never going to follow you because they love you and they think you care about them. Guys, for some of you, this is the only style of leadership that you even get. And I'm telling you right now, God wants to give you a new perspective today. He wants you to see that force and control isn't the only option you have. There's better ways to get your family to follow you. Now, this third level of influence, which is still a low level of influence, but it works, is bribery or incentives. What do I mean by that? I mean, if you do something that I want you to do, I'll give you something that you want. When my kids were younger, we would use bribery and incentives all the time. In fact, our church uses bribery and incentives. If you bring your Bible, you get an award. If you bring people to church, you get stuff. And it's an incentive and a bribery to help try to train them to have good habits. And it works. You know, your kids are under 12. You can tell them if you get good grades, we'll take you to Chuck E. Cheese, or you do well here in baseball, or whatever, football or soccer, we might take you out to eat afterwards. We might do some things that cause them to think differently while they're on the field or while they're at school or while they're doing their homework. And we might actually give them something for it. And it works. But I can tell you this, as your kids get older, that style of influence starts to wane because now they've caught on. They know, hey, you're only trying to get me to do this because you want me to do it. And I don't know if this is in my own best interest because I don't really want to do it. And now it starts to shift. And it usually happens between 12 and 13, 14 years old. I can remember my daughter was in fifth grade and she came to us, which I was very thankful. And she asked us if she could date a boy. Now, everything in me was like, heck no, you're not dating a boy. I'm a dad. I don't want her dating boys in fifth grade. We all know that's a joke and it's not real. But I couldn't tell her that. If I told her that, she would have just been more amped to date this boy. And so instead of telling her that, I had a conversation with her. And I said, why do you want to date this boy? And she told me why. And she thought he was cute. And she thought he was fun. And I said, well, let me just tell you why I don't want you to date this boy. And I explained to her that in that age bracket, a lot of times people date and they break up pretty quick and the breakups aren't always good and it causes a lot of drama and it causes other kids not to like each other, causes you not to like him. And then if he dates somebody else, then there's more drama and now you don't like that girl that he dated because you feel offended that she's dating the guy that you like. And then it just makes it life hard at school. And for whatever reason, my daughter listened. I didn't have to bribe her. I didn't have to give her an incentive. I didn't have to force or control her. I just told her what I wanted. She didn't date that boy. In fact, that boy ends up dating her friend. And they dated for a while. And then just like any fifth grade relationship, he broke up with her and dated another friend. And they dated a while. And just like a fifth grade relationship, he broke up with her and dated another girl. And what was interesting is those girls started not liking each other. But Hannah was kind of Switzerland. She was the neutral party in the whole thing. And all these kids would hang out with Hannah because she was safe because she never dated that boy. And at that point, I realized that the second level of influence was happening with my daughter. She was 10, 11 years old, and she was starting to what we call trust me. She started the level of influence that is all about trust. And guys, I got to tell you, the second level of influence, trust, is not something you can buy. It's not something you get overnight. Trust happens because there's a track record of trust. It means you've done things that you've told them things and you actually followed through with those things. You've done things that they can trust you, that when you give them your word, you're going to be there for them. They trust that you are a dad that shows up when you say you're going to show up. They trust that you are a dad that puts them as a higher priority than maybe work or maybe your friends. They trust you. And I can tell you where a lot of men struggle in their families is with this level of influence. Your family can't trust you because everything in your world has become more of a priority than them. And fear would tell you that you have to be afraid of work and put work ahead of your family because you got to pay the bills or you got to get this thing done. And so you can't promise them things because you know that work is going to be ahead of them. And what they start realizing is that all these empty promises that you have made and you've broken has caused them not to trust you. And now that level of influence, which is a very high level of influence, they can't follow you. See, at that time with my daughter, Hannah, she trusted me because we had a relationship. I showed up to all of her practices. In fact, I was her coach, so I had to. I was involved with all the things that she was doing in school. I went to her stuff. She came to my stuff. We were a highly relational family that actually did things for one another. And what it did is it bonded us with an influence of trust. So when I told her about what I thought about this boy, she recognized that, man, I don't want to do that, which gave me the highest level of influence, which is the number one level of influence, and that's vision. At that point, Hannah had a vision. When your family gets a vision of what you want, you no longer have to tell them what to do because they have their own vision of what you would like them to have. In other words, Hannah trusted me at the beginning of the year not to date this boy. At the end of her fifth grade year, when she saw all the drama that happened, she now has a vision for what dating does in school, and she didn't want to have that happen to her. So now I don't have to even tell her anymore whether she should date or not date. She's making those decisions on her own based on the trust and the vision that she now has in her own life. What's ironic is my daughter never did date anyone in school. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for kids to date. I'm not trying to make a statement here about dating. I'm just saying that in fifth grade, Hannah got a vision of the drama that happens in school dating, and she wanted nothing to do with it. I no longer had to have that conversation with her. She now is living her life the way she wants to live her life. Vision is the most powerful level of influence we could ever give our family. And vision is something they can see for themselves, not something you tell them to do. You know what's interesting? My son, he's 17 now, but at 13, he started his own spiritual fitness plan. See, back in 2004, I started my own spiritual fitness plan. It was 15 years ago, and my son was about 2 or 3 years old, and all he knew about his dad was someone who got spiritually fit. I got up early. I spent time with God. I prayed. I read my Bible. I fasted. I prayed with my wife. That's all he's ever known in our relationship is we are people who seek after God in every area of our lives. So at 13, when I presented this to him, he created his own spiritual fitness plan. Now at 17, this is a couple weeks ago, I had him listen to a Craig Rochelle leadership podcast. It was all about disciplines for 2019. And I wanted him to listen to it because I thought it was a pretty cool podcast and it might give him a different thought of what he can do to grow more as a leader, as a man, and as a young man. And I told him, I said, if you listen to this podcast, I'll buy you your favorite sushi and we'll go talk about it together. And he said, cool. So he went and listened to the podcast. And sure enough, a couple weeks later, we went to the sushi place to eat and talk about this podcast. Now, I honestly thought at 17, he's probably just going to give me a couple thoughts of what he thought about the podcast and we'd have good sushi and we'd have a good conversation. We'd move on. But when it came time to talking about the podcast, my son opens up his iPhone and has scrolls of thoughts that he had on this podcast. And not only were there scrolls of thoughts he had on the podcast, but he wrote down ideas of how he wants to get more spiritually fit and prepare himself for college so that when he gets to college, he's not going to be tempted by the things a lot of kids are tempted by. And I got to tell you guys, I was blown away. It was so cool to watch my son give me this list and have a desire to do things that I wish at 17 I would have done because I didn't start it at 17. I started it at 34. I started it when I was older and I wish so bad that 17 years earlier I would have had a dad that would have set me down and done the same thing. And I was so proud of my son for doing this. And what was exciting to me was I realized that my son's vision for what a man is me. The only vision he has of a man is me. And he's watched me do my own spiritual fitness for so long. In his mind, it's just what you do as a man. Now he knows a lot of people don't do these things. He's old enough now to recognize that his friends aren't doing these things, but he's also old enough to recognize that the successes that we've had in our lives have been because we are a family who follows Christ. And now he wants to do it. Awesome. So I want you guys to evaluate yourself today. I want you to ask yourself, what kind of an influence do you portray to your family? Are you building trust with them so that they would want to follow you as you follow the example of Christ? Are you doing the things that you wish you would be doing? Is your flesh fighting you to stop doing the things that you should be doing? Is it causing you to say, you know what, just hit the snooze one more time? You know, don't worry about praying. Don't worry about doing the things you're called to do with God. Just tell your kids to do it and they'll do it and eventually you'll get to it. Listen, our flesh is tricky. And the Bible says that all day long. That thing is fighting our spirit to try to get us to do what we don't want to do. But I'm telling you right now, guys, if you'll go after God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, regardless of the storms in your family, regardless of what your wife is doing or what your kids are doing, if you'll go after God, eventually they will start following you, because you'll give them a new vision of what it means to be a man of God, what it means to be a follower of Christ, and they will follow you too. But you have to set the example so that they can see how it's supposed to go, and they can see what you're doing so they can do it as well. Because I'm telling you right now, you're setting an example now. And if you're not doing it, that's the example you're setting. And if you are doing it, that's the example you're setting. So decide right now that I'm going to go after God with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength, because I want to see my family grow and become all that they can be, because they have a dad that's willing to do what he needs to do. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the men that are listening to this podcast. And Lord, I thank you that right now, God, they're evaluating their own influences. And they're evaluating, Lord, how they're living their lives. Because they want to have they want to build trust with their families. And they want to have a vision that they can show their families of how to live their lives for you. That, God, they would be the example, that they set the example for their family. And Lord, I pray right now, I come against everything that would try to stop them. I come against their flesh trying to fight them right now. I come against the enemy, the devil. I come against the world that would try to entice them not to listen to something like this and not to follow something like this, that the world's telling them to do whatever it wants them to do. And Lord, I pray right now that they would say no, because as men, we are defined not by what we say yes to, but we're defined by what we say no to. And God, and that, God, we would be men who would say no to the world and no to our flesh and no to the enemy, and we'd say yes to you. So Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that these men would have a great day today, and Lord, that you would strengthen them with all of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.